We get it underway this afternoon by welcoming back to the show a talented actress, author of the wonderful book Bad Auditions, and one of our favorite people in the world to talk with, Julia Duffy, joining us this afternoon. Hello, Julia.
Hello, Rich.
Wonderful to have you back with us.
Well, it's great to be here. I guess I did okay the first time since I got invited back.
Yeah, this is your third time on the show.
Oh, third time. Okay.
Which means later on I get to teach you the secret handshake.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I would love to know that.
I know.
Just get me into exclusive places.
Oh, yeah, it does. Absolutely. But I can't talk about it on the air because then everybody's going to want that kind of thing.
That's right.
Is it too late in the year to say Happy New Year?
Well, I don't think so, no. It still feels like a very new year to me. So Happy New Year to you also.
Thank you very much. How were your holidays?
Well, they were very nice. Our daughter was here, and that always makes it better. And then I put the tree up. And sometimes she just can't come until January because she's working. But she was here for the whole thing. And she's probably moving to L.A. or at least becoming more bi-coastal. She's in New York. So that makes me very happy.
Now, you guys are bi-coastal too, right?
We are indeed. We have a little apartment in New York that I haven't seen since September because I was working. So I'll go pretty soon. Not that winter is the time I want to go to New York, but, you know, got to look after things.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of working, so what's the state of things right now for actors out there? I think the last time we talked with you, everybody was doing video auditions, self-taping, and doing it remotely. Is that still the working order for most people in the business?
Yes, I think it's here to stay. It's never going away. It's so beneficial to the production side. I mean, do they even need to rent an office? I don't know. So it's pretty nice for them. I don't think they're as aware of the downside as we are, but it has its good points and its bad points.
What are the good points? Because it sounds just horrifying to me.
I know. I think we all felt it was horrifying at first until we got used to it. I mean, it was so bizarre. Like, especially when I would do it for theater, but I actually got theater jobs from doing it because I thought, well, don't I have to stand back from the camera and you see my whole body like you do on stage? And yet, how effective can that be if they're looking at it on their iPhone or something. There were a lot of decisions to make, but the biggest plus is that I can do it a million times, which is what I do. So I drive my husband crazy, but he's very good about it. And until it's the way I want it to be. The bad thing is that they often don't give you very much information. And it's not like you can ask a question. You have no way to ask a question. You don't know why is the character like this in the second scene? Because they haven't given you the whole script. You never get to ask those things. And I really have to wonder if they don't understand that they would get a better idea of how we play the role if they would give us more information.
Yeah, and no opportunity to say, could I try something a little bit different this time?
Yeah. I mean, I suppose you could do a second take, but a lot of them have many rules. Like no second take, and it has to be like this or that. You have to frame it this or that way. And, you know, you just want to say, well, then when is the film crew coming to my house? And you have so many demands. But on the other hand, I do like having that freedom to do it until I'm happy.
And in the book, you talked about how you differentiate. If it's for a stage role, you at least try to do something where your physicality is a part of that scene.
You're so good at reading the book. You're remembering more than me. It's been so long. yes, I do think you have to do that because stage being what it is. But let's face it, they're looking at a screen. They need to see your eyes and they have to imagine the rest. So I learned to come closer to the camera when I was doing it for theater.
Now, you continue to do a lot of stage work. Do you have a preference through the years? Is there something that you get from each one that's a little bit different in terms of satisfaction, reward?
Well, it has a lot to do with what the role is. But theater has that four-week rehearsal period that I absolutely love. I have to be sort of dragged kicking and screaming out of the rehearsal room when it's time to go to the theater, because that's the best part to me. Although, of course, once you have an audience, then there's a whole other thing that's happening that's wonderful. But there's also the fact of 8 shows a week is, no matter how much you love the role, it can be a grind, and you have to find a lot of ways to keep yourself at the top of your game 8 times a week, and that can be pretty exhausting.
I was thinking about this as you were talking. Stephen Tobolowsky comes on our show quite a bit, and he talks about the rehearsal hall as being that sacred space. And I wonder, I've done a lot of plays. I've never done any television acting, but the feeling that you get in that space, coming in every day, working with those same people, walking those boards, I have to think that maybe is a very different experience than what you get on the set of a television show.
Well, yes, it's the opposite, because you often have no rehearsal on a set. You simply have to come in prepared for anything, which means you have to be really prepared in your head, if possible, and if you've had the script long enough. But yes, it's a sacred space, because it's where you're trying things. And the director is very much in control during those 4 weeks. And it's a cooperative effort. You're making something bigger than any one of you, bigger than yourselves together. And that feeling is very special, and I miss it so much when I haven't done it in a long time. But on the other hand, I've had wonderful experiences on film. I mean, a film set can be wonderful too when it's run right and it's positive energy. And again, you're all trying to make something, a whole, that's bigger than the sum of its parts.
We're talking with Julia Duffy here on Downtown. We've talked with you before, but it's such a wonderful story of how you ended up with the role on Newhart, which led to an Emmy nomination every single year you were on the series. And so much of the business is getting seen by people, getting to know people, but also having someone who believes in what you do. And in your case, it came about during an audition for Lou Grant. Was it the casting director, Fran, who thought you could do some things that maybe others didn't think you could do?
Yes, I was so happy to have an opportunity in the book to just praise this casting person who had passed at the time of the book, but I did hear from her daughter, who was very pleased about it, and other friends of hers. But she did not cast Newhart, but she worked for MTM, which is the production company that was Lou Grant and Mary Tyler Moore and both Bob shows. And I just went in to read when I hadn't been in L.A. very long at all, to read for a small part on Lou Grant, a nurse, who just said something like, "The doctor will be with you in a minute." And it's an awful feeling at an audition when you really know you can't dazzle them because there's nothing in the material to dazzle them with. How do they even choose who to cast in a role like that? But anyway, I noticed there was a part of a girl who worked at a fast food place that the investigative reporter and Lou Grant needed to get information from. And I thought it would be very funny if she was very bored with her job and, you know, a gum-chewing bored teenager. Because I'd watched the show and I knew that would work well with that character of the investigative journalist, that it would be fun. And so I asked her if I could read for it. So I read for the nurse, and then I had with me whatever I wanted to change into, and she let me do it. And she was very excited about it. It was wonderful. And so then she let me go in and read for that part. And that was the part that I got, and the one that I wanted.
Your name came up recently when we were talking with director Jimmy Burrows, and we're talking about the
really?
Fact that you were, you were considered for the role of Diane on Cheers.
Yes, that was a week-long audition, literally a week-long. And I guess Jimmy at first directed. They paired me up with Ted at first, and Jimmy directed us. And then they switched around, and they paired me with what's his name? Anyway, he's an actor that used to be a football player whose name I forgot.
Oh, it was Fred Dreyer, right?
Oh, good for you. Of course, if it's football, you would know the answer. but I don't know anything about football. And then Ted and Shelley were put together. And I thought it was pretty clear, you know, what direction they wanted to go in. But still, it was a week-long rehearsal process. We went in every day. And then we all did it live for the network people. There were three couples that read.
Can you tell us?
Anyway, if I'd gotten that, I wouldn't have done Newhart, which was the best thing that could happen to anyone.
Absolutely. You still keep in touch with Bob, who just goes on and hasn't lost a bit of his comic timing?
He really has not. Yes, well, he is 93. I talked to him a couple of months ago, I think. And yes, I definitely keep in touch with him. And he really is still so funny and so deadpan. Teases me every time I talk to him, which I love.
All right, what can you tell us about an upcoming project, Mrs. American Pie?
Well, it's based on a book, a novel, and I think they're sticking with that title, although the show has departed a lot from the book. It was kind of a jumping off place for it. And it takes place in Palm Beach, 1969, and there are these socialites played by Allison Janney and Leslie Bibb, myself, Laura Dern, who's sort of broken away from the pack of the country club people, and she's gone with the feminists. It's a time of change, obviously, 1969. And then there are those of us who are entrenched in the social life of Palm Beach, which is pretty intense and competitive. And Kristen Wiig is our protagonist, who is desperate to become a member and tries to, she wants so much to achieve that and to be in the in crowd. You really feel for her. It's very sweet the way she plays it. And then the great, great Carol Burnett is the doyenne of the society.
Oh my gosh. Wow. What a group of talented women.
Oh, incredible. So Carol's character is very powerful because she knows all the secrets. However, as the show begins, she has recently had a stroke. So the competition to outdo each other has become even stronger. And it is very funny, very heartfelt, and at times it's a very heightened kind of reality. I can't say very much about it because there would be way too many spoilers.
Oh, yeah. Well, that sounds great. Is that coming out this summer?
That's what I hear. I don't know why they're waiting until summer to start streaming it. It will be on Apple Plus. I don't know. Nobody has told me why, but they seem to be aiming for summer.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. I loved your work. I think the last time we talked with you, you were about ready to be seen as Maxine Blackmore on Black Monday. And, oh, my gosh, that was so much fun.
Oh, that was such a fun set. And that show is wild. I hadn't watched it, and I was actually in New York and flew back for it. And I was trying to catch up on the show because I didn't know anything about it at the time. There's just too many shows now to keep up with. And I had the best time. I mean, working with Andrew Rannells. Oh, my God. He's spectacular. I got to meet Don Cheadle, who is one of my all-time favorite actors. I was honestly starstruck when I met him. But I didn't have a scene with him. It's just as well. I would have been too starstruck.
Julia, you're very active on social media. We're Twitter buddies, and now we've both made that move over to Post. I look at Twitter, and was it a cesspool? Yes, absolutely. And yet, I made some very good friends out there. I certainly saw some positives, and it makes me sad to see the direction it's going.
Oh, I know. I also made friends. People don't understand this unless they've been on Twitter. Of course, and women are very good at this, making friends. You know, we do that. We bond. And it's been so enriching. Oh, it helped me get through quarantine so much. Sometimes I've met these people in real life, Twitter blind dates, we call them, because you just get to know that somebody is, you know, your kind of friend. And everyone's so supportive of each other, but that's because I was curating my feed. I was avoiding what is so controversial. And because when at its best, it does function like a town square where people are laughing at each other's jokes and sharing information and helping each other, sympathizing with each other. And I've seen so much generosity on it. And that surprises people, but that's because they don't spend time curating their feed so that they're following those kind of people.
Yeah, if you look for good, positive, supportive people out there, it can be a pretty good experience.
Yeah, it's an incredible tool when you think about it. Just an incredible tool for bringing people together. And I know a lot of people who have met through it, become very good friends, gotten jobs, things like that.
Well, Julia, it's great to talk with you. As always, look for Julia's upcoming work on Mrs. American Pie whenever that comes out. Keep your ears open for that. If you know anybody who is an actor or is thinking about being an actor, make sure they get a copy of the terrific book, Bad Auditions, as well. Julia, thanks so much for coming back and visiting with us again.
Well, thank you for having me again, Rich. I appreciate it.
We'll do it again whenever the series comes out.
Yes, because it'll be very fun to talk about it when I can actually talk about it.
Well,
it's pretty wild, and I don't often say this about a job I've done, but it's going to be absolutely fabulous. Our creator is a genius. His name is Abe Sylvia, and he's just a genius. That's all there is to it.
Well, I can't wait for it, and we'll talk to you whenever that rolls around. Thanks again, Julia. Be well, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Okay, thank you, Rich. I'll see you on Twitter.
You got it.